The Ebola epidemic killed more than 13,000 people. It is the deadliest outbreak on record. The World Health Organization has declared the epidemic over, but new cases are still being diagnosed. And there's some evidence now that Ebola can actually live on in survivors of the disease. And that means people who manage to beat the virus sometimes face abuse and rejection in their own communities. Georgia Tech alum Archelle Bernard wanted to give those survivors hope and a source of income. She started a clothing company in Liberia called the Bombshell Factory. But Archelle says it's not a charity, it's a profitable business. He'll tell me more is Archelle herself. She joins me from South Africa by Skype. Hi, Archelle.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. Can you tell me a little bit about the concept behind your clothing company?
Well, I've been a boutique owner in West Africa, in Liberia, for about 3 years. And when Ebola happened, I had to drop everything and go just because it was just sweeping through Liberia at a rate that I couldn't understand. And so I just didn't want to be caught in the crosshairs. But while I was in Atlanta, I had time to think about, you know, what I want to do and where I want to take this business. And people were dying from this disease, from this virus that we didn't even know where it came from. So when I got back, I was like, okay, we can start a business that will help people who maybe were cast out of their communities or who maybe didn't have a skill and maybe their loved one lost their lives to Ebola. So we started this clothing company. I'm training women how to sew. And we can make our clothes for export, and we're excited to bring it all to the States this year. So it's exciting.
And yet people assume that you are, well, I'm sure people assume that you're a charity because you're doing something that, that would be easier and perhaps less costly somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Correct. For me, I've been a business owner, and so I see the value of having a good business. And good businesses really strengthen the economy, number one, and number two, the lives of people who work for them. So for me, it was very important not to have a charity, because in Liberia, charities come and charities go. There are charities all around Liberia because people think we need. But I think the thing that we need the most is to be able to learn how to provide for ourselves.
So if you're not a charity, let's dig into the decision to make a profit doing something that's more difficult than it needs to be. How do you keep that balance? Where is the line, in other words, in how much profit you can make and when it might be too expensive to do what you think is morally right?
Well, I think people are excited to purchase clothing or gifts from us and be able to wear their support. Like, we don't want anybody to write a check and then just say, oh, we wrote a check to this organization or something like that. We want our women to learn how to earn their money, especially in a place like Liberia that, you know, hasn't really caught a break in the past, 40 years? After war, before Ebola, we had a lot of people who, you know, are learning how to get back on their feet. And so it's very easy to find charities that are helping people maybe just buy food for the day or for the week. So we want to teach people how to fish, you know? And so that, for me, that was the basis of having our company like this.
Do you feel, Archelle, that you're part of a changing landscape of companies? I'm thinking of things like Warby Parker that makes eyeglasses, but makes sure that they're all, they keep their profit margins low. They make sure that they're recycling everything. Do you think that we're seeing industry and business change?
Absolutely. You know, I think millennials, we get a bad name because I'm in my 20s, so I'm definitely a millennial. But we get a bad name because I think people think we're lazy. But I think that the businesses that we start, we want more than just to make enough money to retire by the age of 65. We want that impact to be seen all across the way that we live. We want to disrupt the way that we live, you know? So it's exciting to see companies take that socially responsible view and say, okay, not only am I going to make a profit from this, but other people who need to make a profit are also going to benefit. And then hopefully we just cause a little ripple that will change the way that people live around us.
What's your best seller?
Our bestseller currently, well, we just did a Kickstarter. And at the end of our Kickstarter campaign, people pre-ordered goods, but the most selling one was the Power Pencil Wrap Skirt. So it's like a pencil skirt, but it wraps. So it's good for comfort, and it's got two different patterns in it, and it's really fun.
And do you see yourself also as the leading edge of a change in the relationship between employer and employee?
I think it's interesting, being having a factory in Liberia, it's not like having a company in the States. You become a family. Anytime there's a woman there who is working for you day in and day out, you understand her problems, you understand her children's problems, and you kind of bear that weight on your shoulders. So I definitely think it's no longer, there's no employer employee in my eye. This is, I'm boss lady, as they affectionately call me, but these are my family members. Even we have a girl in the a woman in the shop. She's my age. She's 27 and she's an Ebola widow. And we want everybody to write their name on the clothes that they make. And I gave her the tag and I said, okay, write your name on the, and she gave it back to me. She said, I can't do that. So for us, we were like, okay, naturally we need to have literacy classes so that everybody can learn how to read and write as well, so that they can hopefully start their own businesses. So I say that to say, it's not employer employee. If I see that you need something, we're going to do everything we can to make sure we provide it.
My guest is Archelle Bernard. She's founder of the Bombshell Factory. It's a company in Liberia where Ebola survivors make clothes and earn money. I want to bring another invoice into this to just talk about the difference between a socially responsible company and, say, a charity. And we have an expert on that. Atul Tandon is the CEO and founder of Tandon Institute. Welcome to the program, Atul.
Thank you. Good morning, y'all.
Yeah, good morning. I love y'all.
All right. So, Atul, there are lots of differences here in how we describe these companies. There's a charity, a nonprofit. There's a for-profit charity. And then there's, I think, Archelle's company, which is what we call socially responsible. What are those distinctions?
Well, thanks for asking. There are basically three categories that we're talking about. And what the, let's say the IRS, because these labels, for-profit, non-profit, social enterprise company, really are tax labels. So what the IRS defines as three categories largely: public charity, private charity, and then a company. And now, interestingly, under new regulation, a socially responsible company. And there are different regulations for that, but there's a new classification. So those are the three. The in the world of what charities are, and whether they are public or private, they serve a single purpose, which is accomplishing their mission, which is a social purpose. I mean, almost to the last one, it's a social purpose. It could be cleaning your local river, to training, Ebola victims in Liberia. And it is funded by, a public charity is funded by public, by the common public. Private charities are funded by private donors or philanthropists or companies. So Coca-Cola Foundation is an example in Atlanta, is a private charity. United Way of Atlanta or Georgia is a public charity. And then you come to the social enterprise. And as Archelle mentioned, these are companies that are formed for social purposes. So the big difference is they serve two purposes. They serve a social purpose, and they as well serve their investors. So and investors invest money, and Archelle investing time, money, are looking for a return for profit. So that's the primary difference, is one serves one purpose, which is a social purpose, accomplishing its mission, the other two purposes, profit and mission.
So, Archelle, how carefully did you think of these distinctions before you chose one?
I didn't think about it so carefully, as it naturally just found me. For us, I've had a boutique for 3 years. I've been sewing clothes for four, and all of our team, the tailors, were all men. So I was like, we see women here, very unskilled, taking care of the kids or selling, dry goods in the market. But I want to teach a skill to women. So we needed to staff up. And so I was like, this is the perfect opportunity to train women. That's it.
Atul, are we seeing, I asked Archelle about this as well, but do you think we're seeing a change in the balance of industries and how many are choosing to be socially responsible?
Absolutely. We are seeing the change, and frankly, the change, and we work globally, is being led by are shelled to your generation's credit by the millennials. As they're coming of age and getting into the world of enterprise, I see this in India. I see this in my travels in Kenya. Obviously, here in the U.S., more and more of them are now getting engaged, and they want to set up organizations, businesses in their case, which are serving a social purpose at the same time, are attracting capital and deploying capital effectively, so they're earning returns. And in the process, frankly, when you look at our Shell's website, they are bringing their whole concept of bringing a product to market, I think, is some ways fundamentally different than how a charity works. They're adding sizzle, they're adding presentation, packaging, and getting people excited.
So, Arshel, you're still relatively new in this business. What mm-hmm. happens when you are responsible to investors and you have to show a certain margin of profit for those who own your stock?
Well, hopefully we just grow within ourselves, to be honest. I mean, that's why I enjoyed crowdfunding.
You mean not become a publicly traded company?
Yeah, not immediately, at least, because, at the end of the day, you can still choose who you want to buy into your company. We, at our very core, we want to help benefit Liberians, and I don't see us involving anybody who can't at least make that one of their top two priorities, if not number one. So, yes, I mean, it would be nice to grow to that sort of scale, but that's why we like crowdfunding, is because now we have little investors who have invested in us by buying a $100 skirt. So, and they want to see these women trained and taught, and that's what we want. So far our goals align.
And yet, Atul, can a company like Arshel's grow to the size of Apple? I'm sure Arshel would love that. But can it grow to that largest size and remain socially responsible?
Well, you ask a boundary question. So let me give you a boundary response. Where will this go? I think the closest that we have seen in the world of organized world, if you will, of commerce, of organizations serving dual purposes, are cooperatives, right? Which as well serve a dual purpose. They are owned by their members, and they serve both a social purpose as well as are there for a return to members. So as it happens, probably the world's largest dairy company is an Indian cooperative called Amul, AMUL. One of the largest retailers in our country is REI. It's also a cooperative. Your local credit union is a cooperative. Where I live in Seattle, the Boeing Employees Credit Union, one of the largest financial institutions in our state, is owned by its customers. So that's where we've seen scale. Is it possible for a for-profit venture? Difficult to say, because at some point the need to earn a return for investors to go to scale, you have to go public, or even if you're mm-hmm. private, attract very large amounts of capital. And then that capital starts to impose, it comes with conditions. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the new frontier. And we don't know, but nobody thought that cooperatives could grow so large.
Yeah.
Well, then, Arshel, we've got a couple minutes left, and I want to hearken back to your studies at Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. What did you learn there that prepared you for this, or maybe it wasn't what was in your college degree?
Okay, to be honest, I moved to Liberia because I needed one more class left to graduate. So I came from the Ivan Allen College, and they said, you can take a free study. And I was like, okay, I'm going to take a free study and go check out multimedia in Liberia. And from then, I just never moved back to Atlanta. So I think Georgia Tech, number one, gave me the opportunity in saying, go for course credit and look around, and learn while you're in a new place. But also, work hard. Georgia Tech, basically was like, you can make your major whatever you want it to be. You can come out becoming whatever you want to be. So it's just about, knowing how to spend my time wisely and prioritize just the task at hand.
Atul, in the minute that we have left, is this the leading edge of a sort of a revolution in business? If we're talking about millennials, and obviously you can't talk about any group of people as a blanket statement, but in general, could, as the millennials begin to own their own businesses and become leaders in business, could this be a sea change?
It could be, provided they stay with their initial impulse. And that's what I hope for, and I'm looking forward to, is that, you know, what Arshelle is doing, she will get others excited, and as they follow and as she leads and as they all grow, they'll retain that passion. But I have to say that even with what they have done, they've already had tremendous impact, even on the world of charities. And, you know, many charities are now rethinking how they come to market, how they present, right? They're starting to think of their donors as investors, and not only donors, that they deserve a return. So I think they've already had an impact. Arshelle and her peers have already had an impact on the world of charity, which is presently larger than social enterprise.
Yeah.
I wait to see the day that they will become equal, if not take over.
Yeah, and whether it'll be lasting. That is Atul Tandon, the CEO and founder of the Tandon Institute, and Arshelle Bernard is the founder of Bombshell Factory. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.